Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
We call them the four horsemen, or the four horses of the apocalypse, found in the fierce and tumultuous time in the early chapters of the book of Revelation, when suddenly heaven's corral is opened, and these horses come galloping sequentially across the heaven and the earth. Here comes the red horse of war. Then just after the black horse, which indicated famine, we read these words in Revelation 6:6, "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny. See that you don't hurt the oil and the wine.'" Don't hurt the oil and wine. Opinions on what this phrase means is as wide and varied as there are people who read it. You will find those who say it means that there is a selective famine, that wheat and barley are decimated, but olive groves and vineyards are more resistant to the drought and famine. You will find some who say it means that this is a prejudicial famine, that the poor who depend upon wheat and barley are hurt the more, and that the rich who can afford the olive oil and wine do not suffer so much. You'll find others who say it speaks of medicine, for oil and wine were common remedies in those days. You may recall the story of the man who traveled from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. The priest passed him by, the Levite passed him by, but the Good Samaritan had compassion. In Luke 10, it says he went to him, he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. That's perhaps a good understanding that with war, with famine, heaven says, make sure you don't touch the medicine. Don't touch the oil and wine. Don't touch the only soothing remedies and balms for such a painful, difficult season. And there are many more possible meanings to this phrase, don't hurt the oil and wine. But I think we need to settle there. Settle on the medicine. Don't hurt the oil and wine. These words were spoken amidst the cherubim, those angelic creatures around the throne, that even though the four horses had been unleashed and they would go forth to destroy and conquer, there was a message of hope given from around the throne. Those living angelic creatures before the throne, they set up a line, a limitation. They said, you can hurt what you will. You can go so far, but don't touch the medicine. Don't touch the oil and wine, that there can be safety even in unsafe times. Here on Daily Devotion this week, we're going to be talking about finding hope in troubled times. We all know we live in difficult days, but there is hope in the midst of this. Standing in the midst of the book of Revelation, we find hope that the medicine cannot be touched. I personally believe this book of Revelation, except where clearly indicated, has a chronological progression. In other words, Revelation 6 not only follows Revelation 5 and Revelation 4 in print, but also on the calendar. In Revelation 4, John is caught away in the Spirit, and admonition says, come up here. In Revelation 5, we see every tribe, kindred, and nation worshiping around the throne. My personal viewpoint is that whatever the wrath of the Lamb is, and whatever the wrath of God to be poured out on this world, that the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ will be protected from harm and out of the picture. The gospel, however, will continue to be preached during this season. I believe people will continue to be coming to the Lord. But I see a principle in Revelation 5 that arrests my attention. And I hope it attracts yours, regardless of your view of prophecy. This is a principle of protection. Don't hurt the oil and wine. Wheat, barley, olives, grapes mentioned here, they were all part of the 7 prophesied blessings of the promised land. Wheat was used at the Feast of Pentecost. barley at the Feast of Passover, olives and grapes at the Feast of Tabernacles. So all were, in a sense, protected in God's sight. You could say that all four bore another resemblance. To be made into bread, wheat and barley had to be crushed. To be made into oil and wine, olives and grapes had to be crushed. That there is a crushing that comes to everything and to everyone. Each of us will be broken. The uncrushed barley and wheat were not protected here. Only that which had been crushed, the oil and the wine, were protected. The crushing comes. Oh, yes, it does. When the hoofbeats of those horses are unleashed from heaven's corral, they will crush anything standing in their way. In a figurative sense, maybe you see the answer here. Don't stand against the power of heaven. Be crushed, be broken instead. It's not a question of if you will be broken. The crushing is going to come to all. But the questions are, when and by whom will you be broken? The barley was uncrushed. The wheat was uncrushed. Therefore, they invited the crushing of the horses of famine. But the grapes and olives had already been crushed. It says the oil and the wine, don't hurt them, do them no harm. They were crushed in advance. Jesus said, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. That you and I choose when to be crushed. Will we fall on the rock Christ Jesus now, or will we permit it to fall on us later? Before Revelation 6 is opened, a fourth of the world's population is gone. The sun is turned black. The moon is turned to blood. Signs in heaven, people crying out to the rocks and mountains, fall on us, for the wrath of the Lamb has come. But God says, don't hurt the oil and wine. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the anointing oil, the unction of God, the fresh oil of the Holy Ghost. Wine is a symbol of the Holy Spirit as well, the new wine of Pentecost, the new wine in new wineskins. Oil and wine then seem to be indicative of the righteous, the elect of God, that in the last days there will be some sort of protective covering placed over the righteous ones. But what captures my attention is how God knows how to draw the line. I find immense comfort in these words. The same God who drew a golden strand around the seven continents and told the seven seas, no more, you can't come any further. The same God who told darkness, you will have your 12 hours, but no more. Then comes the daylight. The same God who protected those who dwelt in Goshen is signifying that there is a line that will be drawn. The same God who told Satan, you can take Job's health, but you must spare his life. He seems to say here that I have drawn a line, a boundary of protection around my spirit-filled people. You can't cross that line. You can't touch the oil and wine. You may take their livelihoods. You may take the work of their hands. But I lift my shield of protection over them. I think this is so vital. God says, I will tell you war. I will tell you disease and pestilence. I will tell you death and sickness. I will tell you fear and despair. All you horsemen of the apocalypse, I will tell you how far you can go. And you can't go any further. Hurt not the oil and the wine. I see in this not just a way God acts in the end times, but at all times. Not just in the last days, but in all days. He sets limits. He says you can go so far, but not that far. And in these troubled times, we need that sure word of prophecy that God has the times and seasons in control. And he controls the limit of what can and will happen. And for the children of God, the salt and light of this world, he looks at them and says, you're the answer to this generation. You're the medicine for this malaise. You must be alive and flourishing during the end of times, for you are the hope of the world, the anchor to all who are storm-tossed. God will keep you under the shadow of his wing. He has his eye on you. What have I to dread? What have I to fear leaning on the everlasting arms? I think this should give us great hope that you and I have been protected by God, that he draws lines and says, enemy, you can't go any further. That should breed such confidence and persuasion in our hearts that we choose, even in this day and hour, to overcome. In Revelation 2 and 3, those seven churches were addressed. Each had issues. None was perfect. But God spoke to individuals within that church that if they chose to overcome, that's that Greek word Nike, to be victorious, overcome. Ephesus, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Smyrna, be faithful, even to the point of death. I'll give you the crown of life. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Pergamos, if you'll overcome, I'll give you hidden manna. I'll give you a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. Thyatira, to him who overcomes and does my will in the end, I'll give you authority over the nations. I'll give you the morning star. Sardis, if you'll overcome, I'm going to clothe you in white. I will never blot your name from the book of life, but I will acknowledge your name before my Father and his angels. Philadelphia, if you'll overcome, I'll make you a pillar in the temple of my God. You'll never leave it. I'll write on you the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And I will write on him my new name. And O Laodicea, the last of the seven churches, if you'll overcome, I'll give you the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Hurt not the oil and wine. That should give us the confidence to say, I will be an overcomer in these last days. I will step forward and I will triumph because God has put a limitation on all of my foes and all of my enemies. When I see the times, these troubled times in which we live, and I hear the anger and the tirades and the spouting of opinions, and I sense the violence behind it all, it suggests we need to recognize the times in which we're living in, the last of the last days. We need to look strongly and closely at our own lives and say, have I been broken? Only that which was broken, which was protected. Have I been broken? Are there pockets of resistance in my life? Areas that I simply refuse to let Jesus have my all. And how can he be Lord if he is not Lord of all? It's the holdouts in my spirit, the vain notions, the preconceived ideas, the refuge of half-truths and full lies that cause me to deceive myself. And you and I don't realize that we may not be fully broken. So take a moment today. Make him Lord of all once again. Whatever will, thought, attitude, behavior must be crushed in his presence. Let the brokenness begin. For God will protect the broken. He'll put a limit and he'll say, no farther. Don't hurt the oil and the wine.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed, 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.